broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The glory days are coming to an end for the health insurance industry in our country.
I have a theory, and the theory is this, that the Chicago mob...
As I say, this is very common. If
this president, I think, has exposed himself.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
Was he dressed as a male?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the only radio show that you can rely on to tell you what's going on. In other words, this is the only news, talk, and entertainment show in the history of the world that knows what it's talking about. And even if we have to cross party lines, even if we have to stab people in the back, shank them as they're walking to the water fountain, tell them, you know what, I don't like you anymore. We're going to tell you not necessarily the truth, just what's happening. You know, the truth. Well, I don't know whether or not, I don't know. Truth is our bitch, so I shouldn't qualify. That's what we're about on this show, you know. It doesn't make any difference to me. So long as this world has been dropped in our lap and we're told to take certain things seriously and we're asked to take certain things as tantamount to a battle cry, and we're asked to believe this and we're asked to believe that, well, you'll excuse us then if we say to you, whether you are progressive or a conservative or a Republican or a Democrat, why don't you take your pamphlet there and your membership roll and shove it deep and shove it wide, man. All right. Coming up tonight, it's Crime Night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every so often, I'll say, well, like once a month, we do Crime Night. And we invite on guys that know things about crime, guys that know things about murderers, rapists, thugs, other fun people like that. And we discuss this with them. Now, of course, as you know, Dr. Michael Stone, if you followed Crime Night, you know Dr. Michael Stone is a regular, and he's going to be with us tonight. He has also written a book entitled The Anatomy of Evil. And this is a topic that Dr. Stone is very familiar with, evil, because he hosts a show called Most Evil on the Discovery Channel's Investigation Discovery Channel.
On the Discovery Channel Investigation Channel.
Yeah, I know, but it's not the Discovery Channel. I shouldn't say it's Investigation Discovery Channel.
No. It's.
Well, I got it right, okay? Don't confuse me.
Well, you got to go in there, man. He watched that. How do you know? You watch Animal Planet.
It doesn't matter what he watches. I know what I'm talking about. Investigation Discovery Channel.
What about Discovery Channel?
Forget about Discovery Channel. Oh, I'm already tired, man. Just talking to you.
Yeah, you got to quit drinking them double shots.
I got to quit talking to you. That's what I got to quit doing. I'll have all kinds of energy if I don't have to just have a discussion with you, bud. Because I could say the time, the weather, it doesn't matter what it is, you've got some problem.
What?
It's right there. You don't even understand what it is. Forget it. All right, so we'll have Dr. Michael Stone on tonight. We're also going to have on with us... I just was talking to Mark Ebner. Mark is the author of 6 Degrees of Paris Hilton, which is a book on the nouveau crime/celebrity culture in Hollywood. Celebrities hanging out with criminals, celebrities hanging out with kidnappers, thieves, in some instances convicted murderers, hanging out with these guys, you know, going down and taking martial arts and boxing classes with them down there at the gym and in South Central or wherever, and pretending, if only for a few months, that they too, are badasses. We also have photographs that we've been showing our viewers here on our video stream this evening. And if you go to philhenryshow.com, you can watch us do the show as well as listen to us do the show. And we've been showing a picture that was sent to us by Mark of Paris Hilton standing in her panties. Now, that seems to be the one that we have favored this evening, only because we thought that was something that our male viewers would like to see. But there's some other photographs here, one of Darnell Love and some other scum. So we'll be talking with Mark about that. And then also we will have with us the author of the book, Dillinger's Wild Ride. This is Dr. whoever it is, Dr. Knorr. Dr. what is his name, man? Where is it in the T's here? I got Crime Night tonight with Dr. Stone. Elliot Gorn, author of Dillinger's Wild Ride. And Chris Dodd has cancer. 87. That's right. It's a bummer. You know, he's got cancer, and he also has been very, very, you know, bad in terms of his job as a senator and the financial problems that we've had in this country, and then his whole countrywide thing. So he really sucked on a job there. But at the same time, he's got cancer, so that's a drag. So maybe we'll lay off of him, I guess. 877-876 Phil is the number. Here is a story that I can't even believe. I can't believe it, and yet there's a part of me that believes it. Small part of me. I can't believe it, so it's got to be a really small part of me that believes it. New poll, less than half of Republicans believe Obama was born in the United States. Now, this, if this is true, well, if it's true, then it basically validates a lot of stuff that I've been saying, that the party, the Republican Party, as it is now being run by these conservatives, these self-styled conservatives, I don't know whether they know what a conservative is, but they call themselves conservatives, and the party seems to be, the party seems to be gathering around that new base. If this is true, then the Republican Party is a fringe party already. Already, it's a fringe party. Less than half of Republicans believe that Barack Obama was born in the United States of America. A new public opinion poll shows. Now, this is the Rasmussen. Is it Rasmussen who did this? Wait a minute, man. This was conducted by Daily Kos.
Yeah, so what?
Well, that's a whole thing in and of itself. I thought you told me there was a Rasmussen poll.
No, I said it's a new poll.
It's a new poll, huh? It's a poll that was conducted by the Daily Kos. Daily Kos is suspect. Not that it's a bad blog or a bad website or even a Blad website or a Vlad website. But it's a website that has an agenda that is completely anti-Republican and anti-conservative. There's nothing wrong with that. But are you going to believe a poll commissioned by them and that it was reprinted and the story that's been put in front of my face tonight is from the Huffington Post? The responses, which were gathered after several prominent conservative media personalities fed suspicion that Obama was unconstitutionally holding office, show the extent to which the conspiracy... Well, the poll itself is... I can't even read the story.
What are you doing? You're throwing it away?
The story doesn't mean anything, man. It's a story about a bias that was produced by a biased website and has been reprinted by a biased website about bias in the Republican Party. Do you understand? This is exactly what I keep talking about night after night after night. And we just made the mistake on this show of putting it on air, where you don't take anything to heart until you've thoroughly checked out the source and maybe gotten yourself two or three other sources, too. That's what I'm leading with. Good God Almighty. Let's listen to a couple of pieces of audio here that may have something better to say about this.
I have a theory, and the theory is this.
God, that started out bad. Let's go to this next cut.
What I don't know is why the president can't produce a birth certificate. I don't know anybody else that can't produce one. I think that's a legitimate question. No health records, no birth certificate.
He's produced a certificate of live birth, right?
I don't believe so.
No, he has. Chris Matthews held it up on Hardball the other night.
Talk to Chris Matthews.
Were you aware of the newspaper, the contemporaneous?
It's not an issue that I'm going to spend any time on. I answered it yesterday.
Were you aware of the newspaper articles that were written at the time that announced his birth?
Produce a birth certificate.
So are you asking him to do that get all these birthers out of your hair when you go home?
I don't care if he has one or not.
He doesn't care if he has one or not, but why doesn't he produce one? You listen to that guy's name, Blood. I don't know who the hell he is. Some dumbass that got elected from some district or some state in this country. See, this is a guy who says, why can't he produce a birth certificate? He has produced the birth certificate, you stupid bastard. Who are you representing? Who are you speaking on behalf of? He's Roy Blunt of Missouri. What is he, a senator? Is he a congressman? Is he a dog catcher? Is he president of the United States? He's a congressman. Does he give a crap about whether Obama was born in the United States or not? No, he doesn't, but as a good Republican, he has to question it. And so he asks the question, does he have a birth certificate? I don't know anybody that hasn't produced a birth certificate. And has anybody answered this question yet? Did Joe Biden, who were the conservatives? I don't even remember the guys that ran on the Republican side. It was McCain, it was Romney, it was Huckabee. How many of those guys produced birth certificates? Do you see the birth certificates that they produced? Were those birth certificates validated? Were they vetted through the proper vetting authority of whoever does that? Did we see the birth certificate of Hillary Clinton? Better question. Did we see the birth certificate of George Bush? Well, everybody knows. No. Of course we didn't see any of those birth certificates. And do you know why? No one cares whether we saw those birth certificates. They do care about Obama's birth certificate. Why? Because he's black, and a black guy achieving any kind of level of success in this country must have come by way of criminal activity. And people ask what a racist is. A racist is someone who assigns to a race an inferiority or a superiority based upon their race, not based upon their necessarily their upbringing or their environment or their nurturing. This is based upon their genetics. So if you believe that Obama has achieved the office of the President of the United States still by less than legal means, it's a fair comment now to make. You've got to be some kind of a racist, because nobody has asked the question about any of the other candidates in the history of this country, as far as I know. In the history of this country. Now, Blunt there, as a good Republican congressman, has sort of got to go along with it. But he doesn't really want to, because he knows it's embarrassing. But he's got to kind of toe the party line, which I suppose is Obama ain't president because he wasn't born here. And meanwhile, he's asked some very good questions by that reporter. He can't answer them. He sounds about as stupid as I figure he is. And then he crawls into his car and he runs away. And it is very true, the following comment. Listen to what this man says here. I believe it was on MSNBC, as he talked about how a great many conservatives, thank God, don't understand why this story is still going on.
The National Review, which is hardly a left-wing publication, just wrote an entire editorial saying this whole thing is ridiculous. Of course he has a valid birth certificate. Of course he is an American citizen. The more we talk about this, the less we're able to talk about Obama's massive takeover of our healthcare system. And I think that's an issue that more people should be talking
people
about.
People are talking about the Obama birth certificate because they don't understand the health issue. They don't understand the health insurance and the health coverage problem in this country. They don't understand it. It bores them. They don't want to talk about it. And I'm talking about conservatives now. The people that are complaining about Obama spending money, they don't understand what he's spending money on. They don't understand the issue. They're just weighing in. They don't like it. But here's when they can get their hands and their heads around his birth certificate. Because you've got to sit down and talk about health care. Sit down and talk about financial and economic problem, collapse, restructuring, reinvention. People don't understand that. They don't get it. They don't want to have to talk about that because it might mean at the end of the conversation, they're not conservatives anymore. So let's talk about Obama's birth certificate. And half the Republican Party, according to the Daily Coast has no value other than as an opinion blog. It has no value as a research site. It has no value as a site for scholarship. It has no value other than reading and ascertaining opinion from the progressive side. That it does very well. But it is not a site you go to for polls or any other kind of scholarship. Nor is the Huffington Post, nor is the National Review, WorldNet Daily, or any of the other conservative sites. To get information when it comes to polling, Rasmussen, there's a great many of them, and we actually have a website. I think it's Real Clear Politics, which does great polling, and they did throughout the elections, and I mean the primaries as well as the presidential election, that we went to a lot because they've got really good, solid polling. And they also amass all of the different polls, whether they're the CNN poll or the others. All right, so that's as much of that as I can stand. Coming up, we've got Dr. Michael Stone here in just a couple of minutes on Crime Night. Stick around. Thank God it's Crime Night. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Streaming live video and audio right now at philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show. The number is 877-876 Phil, and you can Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. You can go to facebook.com/philhenry. But it is crime night right now. That means we clear the decks for Dr. Michael Stone and some of our other guests that we're going to have on this evening. As one of them being Mark Ebner, the guy we were talking about just a moment ago with his book 6 Degrees of Paris Hilton. Dr. Stone, how are you this evening, sir? Thanks for being back with us tonight.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
And congratulations as well on your book, recently published and out in hardback. And Dr. Stone has, as you know, the television show, which is Most Evil. He has now a new book out. And what is it called again, Dr. Stone?
The Anatomy of Evil.
Anatomy of Evil,
yeah.
And is this book that you've written based primarily on a lot of the stories that we've seen on TV, and you dissect them further and tell us a little bit more about how these people come to be?
I would say about a fourth of the book is just that, but then the other three-fourths is based on the previous, 20 years of research about murder that I had done, and also there's a whole chapter on neuroscience, which was touched on, of course, a reasonable amount in the program. You know, they would have different scientists from around the country talk about what shows up in the brain and the with some of these killers or people
yeah.
that have similar tendencies, are studied that way. So I have a chapter about that as well.
So you really, this is a great book to look at so that we can figure out not only who are the individuals we're talking about, we find out not only their background, we find out not only their crimes, but we also get a little insight into the biochemistry, the physiology, the biology that also lends itself to becoming this kind of person, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and that's really important, and I know that you've talked a lot about it on your show, and we talk about it from time to time on this show. But we've got you back, Dr. Stone, and, of course, our question is, have you taken your wife to a play recently? And I understand it was in London?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah,
what'd you guys see?
We saw Tom Stoppard's play called Arcadia, and I had seen it with her when we were in Australia some years ago, and it was a very intellectual, arty, kind of a play that we didn't quite grasp at the time, and we didn't quite grasp it this time around either, although I've subsequently gone to Google and looked at the summary to make a little bit more sense out of it.
Yeah, Tom Stoppard, I think, wrote a – I may be wrong if he wrote the play Pillow Man. Were you familiar with that, Pillow Man? It was a bizarre play I saw in New York. Jeff Goldblum.
It's about, I don't remember whether it was he that wrote it.
It's real. It's way out there. It's about some kid that's tortured by his parents, and there's another kid that doesn't know that he has a brother that's being tortured. Really nuts and really interesting. But I think you'd like to.
Martin McDonagh, actually.
Does it?
Yeah.
Pillow Man? Maybe that was the one. Maybe that's the guy. Well, we wanted to talk to you about this Adi Sanchez.
That's Martin McDonagh. Yeah, that's a
Pillow Man.
Play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh God, it was very scary. I mean, I jumped out of my seat in certain parts of that play. We wanted to talk to you tonight, Dr. Stone, about this Adi Sanchez and throw in Teresa Knorr, who you have rated as on your scale 22, the most evil, a psychopathic killer, a woman that killed her children. Adi Sanchez, as you know, not only murdered her baby, but consumed parts of this child's body. To the great horror of the responding officers and later the country, as we heard about this story, we've got about a minute in this just quarter hour. Can you give me a thumbnail of what you think is going on there with that woman?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that she was schizophrenic. She's quite crazy and psychotic. And when you hear about a story like that, a woman doing that sort of thing, to her baby or child. You're right away, the first thought is that she's probably a crazy woman, and indeed she had a psychiatric history and she'd been in and out of hospitals, so
right.
I'm fairly convinced of that. And what happens that some very disturbed persons will once in their life do something which is unspeakable and horrifying beyond anything, that you can imagine. And so it shocks the public, and they immediately have that response of evil, and of course it is shocking and evil in that sense, but when you take a step back from the scene and realize she was totally out of her mind,
it
puts in a different category than somebody just a cold, ruthless killer.
Yeah, and I I felt that way, and I communicated that to my audience, and I felt, as crazy as this may sound, I felt very sorry for that woman, as well as her family, as well as all the others involved. We'll be back with Dr. Michael Stone on Crime Night on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You're listening to the world-famous Bill Henry Show.
Tonight is crime night, and with us in our first segment is Dr. Michael Stone, the host of Most Evil on Investigation Discovery. He's also come out with a new book called The Anatomy of Evil, which gives us a little bit better idea of what Dr. Stone and others deal with when they take a look at the minds and even the bodies of these killers that we don't seem to understand. And we were talking, Dr. Stone, about Adi Sanchez, this woman that you say obviously is psychotic, which puts her not quite very high on that evil category, a sick person. The biochemistry in the brain is completely out of whack. What do you think of in terms of evil when you think of a woman who has is schizophrenic, who has this personality that's disintegrated?
Well, like I was saying, they do things which are often unusually shocking because their mind has such a bizarre twist to it. And so our first impression is when we hear and don't know really the details or anything about the psychiatric history of the person, is to think, well, that's the most evil thing I ever heard of. But it's then, as I say, when you learn more about it and realize that the person has a long psychiatric history or is clearly, you know, psychotic, that you realize that, well, this was done in response, you know, to, let's say, hearing a voice, you know, that commanded her to do that, as if the devil or God told me to make the world safe for others by killing this child, etc. Then you put it in a different category from someone who does it out of sheer meanness, like Teresa Knorr or certain other women who have killed babies for or their children for insurance money or to, you know, for some other very base motive like that when they're absolutely, you know, not crazy at all.
So let's talk about Teresa Knorr, this woman. I believe she was, I think she was a Californian, you have placed her, very high on your scale of evil. To show the difference between an Adi Sanchez who is sick and a Teresa Knorr who's a psychopath, tell us about Teresa Knorr, because she murdered her children in the most sadistic manner.
That's right.
Which I understand is the most dangerous kind of psychopath, a sadist.
Yes. She had been somewhat depressed as an adolescent. Her mother died in her arms when she was 15, but then she went on to have four or five husbands. She had six kids altogether by the time she was in her early 30s, and she shot to death her first husband, but got off. She was able to convince a judge that, you know, he was maybe trying to mess with her in some way, and it was like self-defense, and the judge at first believed her. And the daughter that they had, that was Sheila, was not even the first. She was the second victim. The first victim was Suzanne that she had by this guy, Robert Knorr, her second husband. And she grew to be pathologically jealous of her own daughters. She herself was becoming very obese. She wasn't so attractive anymore, and she resented her adolescent girls, you know, for being pretty and slender. She tried to stuff them up, you know, by giving them, force-feed them with macaroni and cheese. And when that didn't work, she really tortured them. She would throw knives at them. You know, she shot one in the shoulder. Because she was a nurse, she took the bullet out so they didn't have to go to the emergency ward where she would have been exposed as, you know, as the killer or attempted killer.
Yeah.
And then finally she got one of her sons, and she had three sons as well as three daughters, to go out to some remote spot in the, you know, Bay Area and pour gasoline or kerosene, some accelerant, over the poor girl and set her afire and burned her to death while she was alive. And the body was charred beyond recognition, and she was not brought to justice for that for a number of years. She then took the first daughter, Sheila, locked her in a closet, tied her to a metal pole, and starved her to death. So that was getting rid of the second daughter. The third one ran away and tried to support herself by prostitution. When she tried to tell the police what was going on at home, they didn't believe her, and you can imagine that the average policeman is, you know, just he's not going to be able to believe a story like that.
It's pretty hard to grasp,
So she was finally able to convince them, and then, you know, they did arrest the woman, and they found corroborative evidence and put her away for life in I think, Chowchilla in a prison in California. But she was, in terms of just the sheer pain and torture that she subjected her own children to, she's really at the top of the scale for the top of the scale altogether, and very much at the top of the scale for a woman.
Yeah. And Audie Sanchez, then, on your most evil scale, does a woman like Audie Sanchez, who is clearly sick, does she belong anywhere? I suppose she does on your scale of evil. But
somewhere it's like 13. I have a 13A. If you're impulsive and psychotic, I put them there. With an asterisk, meaning that the person was mentally disturbed, so that I have to put them almost on a separate track.
Yeah. We've got Dr. Michael Stone with us from Investigation Discovery's Most Evil Show, and he's also the author of a new book called The Anatomy of Evil, which we've got, and I suggest you get it too, so you guys can kind of follow along with us as we do our crime nights with Dr. Stone, because this is really at the heart and soul of making our society healthier. I want to ask you, Doc, are females more likely to fall into certain categories of a killer, like jealous lovers with psychopathic features or sexually perverse serial murderers, or do they just run the gamut,
No, they don't run the gamut. I remember making a graph of where the women fit versus the men. First of all, women are much less likely to be sadistic. Of course, that's why Teresa Knorr stands out so, because she was so sadistic.
Yeah.
But that's uncommon
for
a woman. So they usually, if they end up having a book written about them because of some unusual ghastly act or murder, it's going to be plotting to kill a husband, to get him out of the way in order to be with another guy, or to get insurance money, like the woman that killed a wealthy husband out in Las Vegas and buried him in the desert there somewhere with her boyfriend, things of that sort. Or you have somebody like Deborah Green. Now, you talk about women killing their kids, but see, when you kill them for mercenary purposes or for vindictive purposes, you end up in prison, as opposed to this poor Audie Sanchez, who's crazy. So Deborah Green was a physician. She was a valedictorian of her class, but kind of a difficult woman. And she made her husband's life pretty difficult. So he eventually left her and took up with another woman, at which point Deborah Green, out of just vengeance, burned the house down, and two of the children died in that house. One of them jumped and survived. So she killed two of her children just to get back at the husband.
Deborah Green is an interesting...
That doesn't get you to the hospital. That gets you to prison.
That gets you to prison, and that leads me to another question that we talk about on the show from time to time, the death penalty. I'm not going to ask you to opine unless you feel like it, but I would ask you, as a professional, is there value keeping a psychopath alive once we've caught and convicted and put into prison a psychopath as opposed to someone who's psychotic, a psychopath being a Ted Bundy or a Deborah Knorr or a Teresa Knorr, rather? Is there value in having those people to study, to interview? I know you've interviewed a great many of them, because my own personal feeling is I don't get why those people are allowed to live. Bundy's gone and so's Gacy, but is there some value to you and to the scientific community to continue
to... there is some value to the scientific community, but here's the thing. Not many of them really get studied carefully in such a way that we really learn a heck of a lot more than we knew before. That there's a, some people like Adrienne Raine, very well-known and deservedly well-known and very fine psychologist, who has done magnetic resonance imaging and other brain studies on a number of antisocial men, including killers. And there's a number of other people, who have study these guys, but what usually happens is they will more likely end up in prison, and then it's not so easy, for someone like Adrienne Raine to get permission to go to the prison and get the guy, to be brought to some laboratory where they can be put in the proper machinery and whatnot, so that there's a sort of a disconnect between the ones that he's able to study that are often not quite the worst of the worst, and these real serial killers who are very difficult, to even for monetary reasons, to get to study because the prisons are not very happy with the idea of releasing them, the dangerous person,
yeah,
to some lab, and it's also cost a lot of money, et cetera. So we could know more about them than we do. And, of course, in some states, Texas, Florida, the death penalty is something that really does happen. In other states,
yeah,
they have the death penalty but don't use it particularly. And mm-hmm. it comes down to what is the nature of the person, really, because there are some of these fellows that I've interviewed on death row that I have some sympathy for, and others that I have absolutely none, such as the cannibal in Montana. You know, if he's somebody, now he wasn't even given the death penalty. He died in prison, I think, because of complications of his extreme obesity, weighed 400 pounds.
Yeah,
But he's not the sort of person I would shed any tears over, I can tell you.
I wanted to ask you about Deborah Green, going back to women that killed their children. She was a doctor, and Ann Rule wrote a book about her, and this woman also attempted to poison her husband, didn't she, with some
yes,
kind
that's
of...
right, with the castor bean.
The ricin
right.
poison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, she at times would hide behind a couch in the house and call her husband as if she was off, in a motel or with girlfriends. And in point of fact, she was laying behind the couch, and it was Rule who offered the idea that perhaps this woman was stunted somehow emotionally. Did you find out anything about Deborah Green concerning her childhood? Because she seemed to be almost an infant emotionally in dealing with the husband and the kids. Did you find it? Was there any sexual abuse with this woman, or any other kind of abuse?
I don't recall that there was. I mean, there have been a number mm-hmm. of other women, who've killed, like Barbara Hoffman in Wisconsin or Diana Downs in Oregon, who have been sexually abused, or as far as we know. But I didn't find that with Deborah Green. It was more puzzling. She was obviously very bright, but it came from, I think, a reasonably okay family, but. For reasons that she may have been born with a certain twist, just been a very unfriendly, difficult to put up with kind of person, and ended up doing the things that she did.
Well, we're going to keep on talking here with Dr. Michael Stone. In the next segment, we'll talk a little bit more about the book Anatomy of Evil, which sort of puts all this stuff into perspective and gives a lot more scholarship, that a book can provide on the work that Dr. Stone's done, dealing with these people. We'll be back with Dr. Michael Stone from Investigation Discovery's Most Evil and the author of Anatomy of Evil here on Crime Night in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Songs of love. Then when the hurdy-gurdy man came singing songs
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Crime Night here on the Phil Hendry Show, and, every month we bring on Dr. Michael Stone. It's so good to be with us. Dr. Stone has one of the best shows that I've ever seen on television called Most Evil. We've turned a lot of people onto the show, Dr. Stone, and I hope things are cooking along for you with Most Evil on Investigation Discovery, because it's such a great – it's not only a cool show because it tells a story, but it also gets into these things that you get into in your book Anatomy of Evil, and that's really what we want to talk about here. Although you did have a name that you're familiar with, and we're talking about women that killed their children – whether they are truly insane or sick, as Adi Sanchez is, or a psychopath, stone psychopaths like Teresa Knorr. China Arnold is a name. The nature of her crime is almost as foul, if not fouler, than what Adi Sanchez did. True?
Yes, I think so, because she, I think she already had about four kids by the time she was in her mid-20s, and she put the baby, a little daughter, just about a month old, in the microwave, killing it, because she was afraid that the guy that she was living with at that time thought that it wasn't his kid and that he would leave her as a result of her, in effect, having cheated
on
him.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we got a lot of women doing that, killing children so they can be with a man.
Yes.
You know, here the strongest connection in nature, we're told, is that between a mother and her brood. And here are women putting a man, a stranger, virtually higher than one's children. Susan Smith, Diane Downs, China Arnold.
That's right.
What's the diagnosis of this woman that would, you can kill a, there's a lot of ways of killing a human being, but putting a baby in a microwave?
Well, it's so shocking and diabolical. It's so heartless, you know, as a matter of fact, I think there was some doubt for a while as to whether she was really guilty. You know, there was a young kid that said that, he put the baby in like the way he puts his dolls in the microwave. I think the jury was pretty convinced that it was, you know, she and not anybody else. She was the one that had, you know, the means and the motive because she was afraid that she would be abandoned. Well, so that means that she's so psychologically, you know, warped that the idea of not having a guy next to her in bed meant more to her, you know, than her own biological child, which is, as you say, you know, pretty shocking.
So, Doc, when we have a title of a book, Anatomy of Evil, what comes to my mind is that there is some sort of a diagram, virtual or otherwise, where we can look at the components of evil. Is that how you've structured this tome?
I use the word anatomy to mean, you know, sort of dissecting down the concept and also looking inside to try to unearth the why factor instead of just what, who, when, and where. For instance, in the chapter on neuroscience, I mentioned a number of key areas in the brain. You know, the brain is a pretty complicated piece of machinery with 100 billion neurons. You know, we'll never understand the wiring completely. But there are certain areas, for instance, this little olive-shaped part of the limbic system called the amygdala that ordinarily monitors emotions and particularly, you know, registered fear. And if it's not operating the way it's supposed to, you can look at a fearful face, and instead of feeling sorry for that person, like a little kid crying, you know, I always think of the idea of a kid being lost, you know, in a large building with lots of people, like a department store or a museum or someplace. And instead of wanting to help the kid find its mom or whatever, the psychopathic person, because of something the matter, you know, that's not functioning properly with that organ, will understand that the kid is sad, but figure, here's my opportunity to take the kid, and I'll, you know, make him think I'm going to take him to his mom, but then really I'm going to lead him out, you know, to the car outside, kidnap him, and then I'll get rich with some ransom money. Psychopathic minds works very differently. The area of the brain that's supposed to, like underwrite or serve the feeling of compassion is totally operating poorly or not at all in somebody that we call a psychopath. And so that, again, they're able to do incredibly dreadful things to people because the suffering of the person doesn't move them the way it moves other ordinary people.
Right. How do we recognize a psychopath? And that's what we, we've taken a lot of what you've talked about on the show and talked about it at other times. How do you recognize a psychopath? I had a psychopath on the air, by the way, Sam Vankin, who was the subject of a documentary. An interesting, you know this guy? Because he was interesting, Doc. He says, he admits he's a psychopath. He knows, I asked him point blank, I said, what do you think of me? And he said, you're a vehicle for my, you know, my being exposed to the media, to people. And I said, you know, would you give your life up for your wife, for instance? He's been married. And he said to me, I would if it would ensure me some kind of after I died, some kind of glory or notoriety. And I realized that maybe he's conning me too, because he's a psychopath, you know?
Yes, I was supposed to interview him for an Australian television program. He refused to be interviewed by me. That was last year. So they made a program built around what I knew about him, and they showed pictures of him, you know, some videotapes and so on. And I bought this book that he wrote, which is about psychopathy. It's a bit second rate, I have to say. It was printed in Croatia, where I think is where he lives now. And he's a guy that is really an unfeeling, conning kind of
uncaring person.
Uncaring, you know, who does really mean, cruel things, just as
to a lot of people.
Experiment, you know.
Well, listen, Dr. Stone, we got to run, but Anatomy of Evil, pick it up, you guys. Dr. Michael Stone from Investigation Discovery's Most Evil, and we'll have him back again on Crime Night. Thanks so much, Doc. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.